So,
Actually, speaking of questions, sister, do you want to tell them our full names?
yes. My name is Sister Marie Caritas. Does anyone know what Caritas means? It's Latin. One person knows. Two people. What do you think?
Would it be meat?
No, that would be like Spanish.
Like
In Spanish.
That's good try. That was awesome.
Yeah, but in Latin, what does it mean?
Yeah,
it means love.
Ding.
Okay. And I got my name because I became a sister during the year of the Eucharist. Jesus gives us his greatest gift of love in the Eucharist. So it's the sacrament of love. So that's how I got my name, Sister Marie Caritas.
We have a question or a comment.
Caritas means charity.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, charity,
so charity
or
love.
Love.
As in the hymn, movie Caritas et amor, where charity
and love. Yep.
You
yep.
got it.
I love it when people say to me, "Oh, I love your song." I'm like, well, it's been around for a really long time. It's not really mine, but it's a good one.
It's her fight song. And I'm Sister Mary Jacinta, so I'm named after Saint Jacinta, who loved the Immaculate Heart of Mary and went to her as her refuge. And so I just love that devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And also Saint Jacinta prayed for sinners in most need of mercy. So I thought, I love her prayers for me, but then also to go out and pray for others who are on the fringes and needing mercy. So that's a little bit about our names.
Mm-hmm. So we're School Sisters of Christ the King from Lincoln, Nebraska, and basically, like the gift that the Holy Spirit has given to our community to give to the world is the awareness of total belonging to Christ the King. And so that's something that really drew both of us to our community, is just belonging completely to Jesus Christ. That everything I have, everything that I am belongs to him. And everything that I have, everything that I am, I've received from him. And so I give it back to him with my life. So we wanted to talk about a little bit about like total belonging. What does that mean for you all? Because you belong to Christ the King too. And so we want to share that with you. As we were, we knew we were coming, and like what? As we were praying and thinking about like what do we share? What do we share with them? It just became really clear, like just God's love. And how we live out this total belonging to Christ the King, how we live it out in our daily lives, and how you can live it out in your daily life. Like, what does that mean more practically in the day-to-day?
And just to interrupt, this is not a talk we've ever given. This is something that I just think it was really clear that the Holy Spirit gave us this for you. And so just really, I invite you to open your hearts and just receive what the Lord has in store for you in particular, because like I said, Sister and I don't even get to work together. Usually I'm in the classroom. So really this is what the Lord has in store for you.
Yeah.
Okay. So with that total belonging, first, if you just think, okay, through baptism, we looked up the actual words that the priest says. He says he signs the cross, makes a sign of the cross on a baby's forehead or an adult, and says these words, "I claim you for Christ, our Savior, by the sign of his cross." And then he invites the parents and the godparents to do the same and to make that little cross on the forehead, so on your forehead when you were baptized. So you have been claimed for Christ. And if you think about it, you only claim what you really love, what you really want. I was thinking about it this morning and thinking, I'm thinking of like the staff here this summer. Sometimes when you're like all sharing a refrigerator, and I think most of their food is provided, but like if you go get ice cream and you bring some home and you put it in the freezer and you know there's going to be lots of people on your dorm floor, it's like you might put your name on it, but you don't put your name on something in the fridge that is like you don't really care if someone takes it. So you claim what you love, and yeah, that's a lame example in a way, because it's like if someone eats your ice cream, you're probably not going to be all bent up. But Christ claims you because you are his, and he just has this infinite love for you. And then another example that came to my mind was, I love this example for myself. It's really fed me, but the movie Toy Story. Okay, I've never seen Toy Story 4, and I'm realizing I'm getting older and older, and Toy Story is getting to be an older movie. But if you go back to the first ones, the first and second at least, okay, Woody loves Buzz, Andy loves Woody and Buzz, and so he makes his mark on their boots. And it seems like in each of the movies, there's a point where they're wanting to get back to Woody, or they're in this rough situation and they're losing hope, but it's always in the moments when then they look at their boot and they realize, oh yeah, we belong to Andy, that suddenly there's like this revival of hope and change comes, and they just get this new energy to do whatever they need to do to get back to Andy because they know they belong to him and they're loved. Okay, it's fake, I know, but for us, like, there is extreme power in remembering that you belong to God and that you are loved and claimed. So claim it.
Okay, so if we belong to God, the enemy, okay, Satan, I'm going to call him the enemy because he is our enemy. The enemy tries to steal us away from God the Father, okay? So the enemy, the devil, Satan, is miserable. He has rejected God completely. He's chosen to disobey, and he wants us to be miserable with him. So he sees our joy and our happiness in belonging to God and belonging to the Lord, and he wants to take that away from us, okay? So there's kind of two dangers when we talk about the devil, when we talk about the enemy. The first danger is to think that the enemy isn't real. So to think that the devil doesn't really exist. Okay, there's the first danger. The devil is real. Okay. The second danger is to become so obsessed with the work of the evil one that that's where we put our focus, on the work of the enemy rather than the work of God. Okay, so those are the two dangers. We want the healthy middle ground of knowing that the enemy is real and that he is trying to steal us away from the Father. He is working in our lives to draw us away from the God who loves us infinitely, the God who's saving us all the time, the God who's constantly pursuing us. He wants to take us away from him. But we don't have to be scared of the enemy's work, because we're on the side of the Lord. We're on the side of God who's victorious and who is constantly working to bring us closer and closer to him. Okay, so we don't need to be fearful of the enemy, but we do need to be smart and know that he is at work in our lives. Okay.
So a really basic way to put this, this message of being made for God and then how the enemy wants to rip us apart, but how God is constantly pursuing us. You probably have heard the word kerygma before. Last year I went to a training and learned this awesome, really simple way to teach the kerygma. So whether you've heard it, okay, so this is gonna just for your own hearts, but then also a really simple way to share this message with others. Could I get a volunteer? Okay. Oh, you came up earlier. Okay. We'll get you another time. Okay. Both of you come on up. We're going to need you both. No, we need you both anyways. Yeah. We're going to need four people. So this is perfect.
Okay. So it's Giles? Nelson.
Nelson.
Sorry.
Okay. Nelson.
Nelson and Nick.
Nelson and Nick. Okay. We're going to need two more people in a little bit, but for now, Nelson. Okay. So Nelson has the simple, yes, I know it's probably not manly, but okay. But it really is.
All of us.
In its truest form, it is about as manly as can be for a man. So, okay. So we are made for out of God's abundant love. So here he is, goodness himself, love himself. And it's overflowing, like he cannot contain it all. And so it comes out in the form of his creation. He creates you and myself and every person on this earth. And then everything that he created is just flowing from that love and goodness. And I can do this no justice really in telling you. It's like trying to describe a sunset to someone who has been blind all their life, or trying to describe your favorite food to someone who's never tasted it and has no context, but you've experienced it and it's mysterious and you know it in some way, but it's just that we are made for that love and our hearts are yearning for it. So God has made us for his love, from his love, and nothing besides that love will make us fully happy. But when we experience that love, we can just bring our relationships and everything that's good in our lives into it. And it's happiness that is, yeah, beyond description. So then,
oops, I got it.
You got it. Okay.
Yep.
But then we have, and you are not the enemy. No. All right. Okay. Justin, Justin and
no.
Nick. Okay. Nick is not the enemy. Sorry. But Nick is holding the division sign because just like Sister said, the enemy has just turned away from God and is not willing to live in that happiness. And so he knows he's lost his chance, and he's living just in complete misery. And so out of envy, he tries to rip us apart from God and to ruin that union for us too.
Tries to divide us.
Yes, tries to divide us.
The division sign.
Yes, thank you. I didn't say that. But yeah, he tries to divide us from God. Okay, the two in the back top, come on down. Okay, so the really simple way to put it, we are made from love, for love, that union with God that is going to bring us complete happiness. The enemy is jealous and wants to rip us apart, divide us from God. We're going to need you on the other side of these gentlemen. Here, you can come on down in the middle.
Can I add the other part to that, sister, that he wants to divide us from God, but he's also trying to divide us in our relationships.
Yes.
With one another.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but then, okay, we need you right here. But God does not let the story stop there, that division. He's not going to settle for that because he is just passionately in love with you. And so then he sent Jesus to bring us back, to conquer sin, to conquer that division, whether it's with us and God directly or also in our relationships with others. He is wanting to unite us to himself in all things. And so then the final symbol. Oh, my goodness. Oh, never mind. Sorry. Just a second. Okay. I thought I did it backwards, and I thought, that is a really good backwards question mark. I don't know how I did that well, but it's not backwards. Okay. So then our final symbol is the question mark, because then it comes down to, what are you going to do about this, that you are made for love, that the enemy wants to divide us, and that Jesus has pursued you even to giving up his life on the cross. So are you going to let him bring you back to the Father and live in that union? And so this question comes up in so many parts of our days, because Jesus is always pursuing us. And so the question is, how are you going to respond to the ways that he is saying, will you let me in? The ways that he's knocking on the doors of your heart. Okay, so in one of our schools, we have, actually in two of our schools, we got these bracelets. Don't tell anyone, but we got them from a Protestant company. I know.
Somebody needs to take it and make it totally Catholic.
Exactly. No. So we got these little bracelets and they have these symbols on them. And then anytime a child goes or someone sees their bracelet and they say, hey, what's your bracelet mean? Then they tell them this message in a really simple way. And everyone can tell it in a way, in your own words. And then they give the bracelet to the person. And then they go to the principal and they say, hey, can I get a new kerygma bracelet? Because they shared the kerygma. And so it's been awesome to see these children that are young share the message of the faith in such a simple way. It's K through 8th, so people of all ages. So that being said, can I get a courageous volunteer who would be willing, come on down, to put this message in their own words and act like you are at Burger King and you have a Kerygma t-shirt or Kerygma bracelet or whatever, and someone says, what does your shirt mean? So, and this is not like a you're going to pass or fail. It's just like, just practice. So,
wait, what am I saying?
So walk maybe us through the, yeah. Walk us through each of the symbols. What do the symbols stand for?
So you're, okay, maybe he might have volunteered a little bit too early. Does anyone, now that you actually know the task?
Oh, come on, I think
you got
can
it?
Do it.
You can do it.
Here, we'll help you. It's sharing the story of God's love. I mean, the kerygma, that's God's love.
Okay.
Okay.
So the heart?
What does the heart stand for?
I don't remember.
Okay, we're going to give him a break.
Us?
I think we should, someone want to put it in their own words? Anyone? Anyone want to go for it? Daring. Any of our volunteers
maybe we can
up
kind
here?
Of like all sort of share.
Oh, okay.
You're gonna try it. Thank
we
you.
We got it.
Okay.
Okay. So the heart stands for God's love, how it's never ending, and it will never end, and it'll always be there, no matter what you do.
And that's how He created us out of love.
Yes.
Yeah.
The division sign is the evil one. How He's always trying to divide us or make us think that what we're doing is the best way instead of what God's doing God's way. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And the cross stands for Jesus dying on the cross and how he sacrificed his life, which is pretty crazy for people that he has never even met. But he knew he would be sacrificing for. So, I mean, I couldn't do that. So that's pretty awesome. And then the question mark stands for, what will we do now that we know this, and how will this change our life?
Amen. Yeah. Awesome. Yes. Good job. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. That is
good. So, okay, thank you very much for our excellent sign holders also.
Well, thank you.
So what I would add to this, to the bracelets, if there was someone who wanted to create Catholic Kerygma bracelets, I would add the Eucharist at the end. Because this is part of how God, he stays with us, his enduring presence with us in the Amen. Eucharist. And he promised that he would be with us till the end of the age. He's with us in the Eucharist. He's with us in all the sacraments, continuing to give us his grace. What?
I wish we had bracelets with us right now, and we don't. But I wish, yeah, if I would have thought about it, I would have gotten one from Sister Mary Michael.
You could probably Google it, look it up.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a bit about, like, the big story of salvation history. So the Kerygma story can be, like, the big story. But it's also the story of our everyday lives, okay? A lot of our spiritual life, a lot of our life with the Lord happens, most of it happens just in the ordinary details of our life, the day in, the day out, the normal stuff that happens. So always God is loving us. Always he is pursuing us. And so then part of that question is, how do we live in the day-to-day in such a way that we allow God to be victorious through us, that we allow God to save us each day? Okay.
So we're going to talk to you a little bit about the discernment of spirits.
Have any of you heard of discernment of spirits before?
Yeah.
Okay, yes. Some of you have maybe it had sounds, a bit of an introduction.
Yeah. It sounds like a big term, and you might, I don't know. To me, at first, it sounded kind of intimidating, or I didn't really know. But it is, basically, it's a way to just make sure that we're receiving God's love and just letting him love us. And like Sister said, in the day-to-day basis.
And it's really a way in the little tiny things of every day to live in freedom, to live mm-hmm. in the freedom of the children of God. And we're all the children of God. So it's brought a lot of freedom to my life personally, and I think Sister Mary Jacinta would say the same.
Yes,
and
definitely.
Even for our whole community, as we've learned more about the discernment of spirits, it has brought a tremendous amount of freedom to us. And so mm-hmm. I hope that you can experience some of that freedom by learning a little bit about the discernment of spirits today.
So what is discernment? So discernment, one priest I know, but I've only read his book. I don't really know him. But anyways, he talked about the word discernment itself actually just means sorting. So if you think of, right now, when you were little, like really, really little, you probably played the game where it's like one of these things is not like the other. One of these things doesn't belong. And you try to figure out like, okay, what's the item that doesn't belong? It's usually played with like 3-year-olds. So you're trying to figure out, okay, what does not belong? In this case, we're trying to figure out what does not belong in my heart. And so, or what belongs. And so paying attention to what belongs in our hearts that's from God, and then paying attention to what does not belong in my heart. Let me make sure I didn't skip something.
I think you got it.
You got it? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so discernment of spirits originally came from a saint, Saint Ignatius of Loyola, and he lived in Spain in the 14 and 1500s. He is an incredible saint. He was a soldier, and very, very courageous, but also very worldly, like wasn't living a close relationship with the Lord at all, but was really a soldier and wanting to win the heart of women. and so he was very courageous, kind of a show off, and he went into a battle, and they were fighting against the French, I believe, and he they got to a point in the battle where it was clear that they were not going to win, like the enemy was going to win, but he sort of foolishly continued in the fight, like wouldn't retreat, wouldn't leave. And so he was hit with a cannonball, went between his legs and actually broke one of his legs. And the enemy forces actually were so moved by the courage of this soldier, Ignatius, that they did a surgery on his leg to try to fix it, and then carried him back to his his relative's home because he was badly wounded, but they carried him on a stretcher back to his, I think it was his brother's home. But so he was there and recovering from this leg injury for months and months and months and just had nothing to do. And so it was during that time that he really was able to be more within in his heart, to be able to just like be quiet and to notice what kinds of thoughts and feelings he was experiencing within. He had never been so much aware of what was happening interiorly in his life. But now he had this time. Actually, another story about him is he actually had two more surgeries on his leg. No amputation, no medicine. And he said that as he went through those two surgeries, he didn't make any noise, but just clenched his fists. And that's how he made it through. Like, this was a man of severe courage.
And one of the surgeries was because the first time they did the surgery, they didn't set it so his leg would like look normal again. And so because sister said like he was vain and he just wanted to impress people. And so he's like, do it again, break, so that he had them break his leg again so that it would look normal. So she meant it when he just wanted to impress people.
Okay. So he's the saint. You can read a lot more about his life, but he's the saint that gave the church this gift of the discernment of spirits. It really is a gift to the church.
Okay, so he gives us three basic steps in this discernment of spirits. This is just like a very brief intro, but the first one is just being aware. So noticing what's going on in our hearts is just the first step. So paying attention to what's happening, what's unfolding. So for example, okay, if I notice I start out the day with a lot of energy and excitement and I'm like, just if you're all hanging around and then someone looks at you and then you notice after they look at you in a way where you just kind of know like, oh, you just don't feel normal after that. You feel just kind of restless or, you just kind of feel more down or discouraged and you notice, I started out the day normally and now I'm feeling kind of low. And, so that would be an example of just paying attention, being aware of what's going on in your heart, or the example of, let's say I was feeling peaceful, and normal. And then suddenly someone started asking me all these questions about like, oh, what are you going to do next year? Plans about the future. And then I noticed, the rest of the day I started feeling like more anxious. Or it can go the other way. Let's say I was feeling lonely or just kind of like disconnected from other people. And maybe then you go visit the chapel or, talk to a friend who's really just good and connected. And then you just, or spend some time in prayer and you realize, I feel just like so much more, peaceful, or just there's a lightness in my heart. So just once again, noticing, paying attention to what's going on inside our hearts.
Yeah. Okay. So it's paying attention to the thoughts that we're having and also the feelings that we're having. So both of those things are important.
That's good. Thanks.
Okay. So the first step is to be aware. Can you just say, be aware?
Be aware.
Be aware. Okay. And then the second step is to understand. Say understand.
Understand.
Understand. Okay. So it's understanding. This is the part where we get to the sorting, like understanding what belongs in my heart and understanding what doesn't belong in my heart. We are trying to understand what belongs in our heart so that we can receive it more and more and more. And then we're trying to understand what doesn't belong so that we can resist it, so we can reject it. All right, so what does belong in our hearts? Okay, so there's two different ways that the spirits will work in our lives, and that's through consolation and desolation. Okay, a really, really simple definition of this is, we've wrote it down. Okay.
No, you can keep it talking.
Consolation is the feeling that I am not alone. Okay, so consolation is knowing that I'm not alone. Someone is with me. God is with me. My friends are with me. My family is with me. I'm not alone. Okay. And then a really basic definition for desolation is just the opposite of that. I am alone. I am alone.
This is a lie.
Yeah, it's a lie. Okay. All right, so you can see the difference between consolation and desolation. Okay. The thoughts that come in a time of desolation, the feelings that come in a time of of okay, let's do consolation first. The thoughts and feelings that come during consolation, when I know that I'm not alone, when I know that others are with me, are peace, lightness of heart, joy. I might be thinking things like, I am loved, I am cared for. Okay, those thoughts and those feelings will come more easily during a time of consolation when I know that I'm not alone. Okay, during a time of desolation, when I'm feeling like I am alone, the thoughts and the feelings that will come at that time are heaviness, a sadness. Maybe I might have the thought that, like, I'm not beautiful enough. I'm not good enough. My life is a mess. I'm a mistake. Okay, you can feel the heaviness and the darkness of those thoughts. Okay, so there's the difference between consolation and desolation. Okay, which one do you think really belongs in our hearts? Yeah, okay, amen. Consolation belongs inside of us. And consolation, in a person that's moving towards God, consolation comes from God. God gives us, it's a gift to us, that gift of consolation. It's not something we can create on our own. It's his gift to us. Okay, but when he's giving us that gift of that peace, that joy, that lightness of heart, we just want to receive it from him. Okay, Sister Mary Jacinta had really good actions that she does with her second graders.
Okay, when I'm doing this on like a second grade level, I tell them, okay, so I'll read off, like I just give them thoughts or feelings, and then I tell them, okay, if this is from God, then I want you to put your hands out like you're going to receive it. And if it's not from God, I want you to like ninja fight, do a ninja action like you're going to fight it off or let God fight it off. Well, you should see what they end up like when if I say something like, let's say I say, God is my shepherd, they end up like their arms are out. Like their body language says like God has a waterfall that he wants to pour into our hearts. And it's so true. So yeah. And then the minute I say something like, I will never be successful, then they're like, and they know it. So it's like, it's in our hearts that we know what belongs in our hearts and what does not, but it's just a matter of paying attention and really, accepting the truth. Are we good to go into the next part or? Yeah, no, I think you got it, but I just wasn't sure if we were, unless we wanted to get examples.
Yeah. Is this working?
Did it just, you want to use this one?
Thank you. Okay, so there's this, it's not really a real game, but every once in a while, the sisters, so we live together, there's 28 of us that live together, and we get to know each other really well. And we have what we call community rooms in the back of our house, so it's like a family room. And so that's where we'll play cards or, you know, games or things like that, or sit and read. And so when the sisters are gathered back there and someone's coming, you can listen for their footprints. And usually someone will be like, oh, that's Sister Mary Faustina. And then sure enough, she'll come around the corner. It's like, yep, it's Sister Mary Faustina. Or, oh, that's definitely Mother Margaret Mary coming. For sure, it's Mother Margaret Mary. We've know each other. We even know like our footsteps. Okay, so we call it whose shoes. You know whose footprints are coming. You know who's coming by the sound of their shoes. Okay, so that's a good example with like this consolation and desolation of we want to play whose shoes. We want to know who's coming. Who's coming and who's going from our hearts. Okay, is this the enemy coming into my heart, trying to get into my heart? Or is this the Lord trying to come in more fully into my heart? Okay, and we want to receive everything that the Lord has for us and reject everything that the enemy has for us.
Okay, so I'm going to give you a moment and okay, so I'll explain what we're going to do. We're going to take a minute and just, we're going to have silence and you're just going to notice what's in your heart right now. So what are your thoughts or what are your feelings? And I would encourage you. So if what you're feeling right now or what you're thinking is from God, then you just want to be in that with God. Be a sponge, soak it up, let it all sink in. And just take root in your hearts. If it is what you're noticing is like lowness, heaviness, thoughts of discouragement, or like just feeling disconnected from other people, then basically a way that I like to think of it is Oh, okay. Actually, growing up, I didn't really ever understand, like, why was Jesus mad with the whole temple thing? I guess I kind of understood, okay, like, people weren't supposed to be selling things in his father's house. It was supposed to be a house of prayer. But he gets the whip, like, he ties cords together and whips them, like, chases them out with a whip. And that just always kind of boggled my mind as a child. But one time I was praying with that when I was on a retreat as a sister, and I realized, like, that is what Jesus is willing to do for us, because you are a temple. You are his temple. And if the enemy is in, he will like go into major defense mode for you.
He's
and
gonna
so
pull out the whips.
He's going to pull out the whips. So if that's what you need for him to do for you this morning, let him. So we're just going to take a moment. And like I said, you can be a sponge or call Jesus and invite him into the messiness or whatever it is. And
sister,
just
I wonder
let
if
him.
We might stand up.
That is a really good thing. Okay, how about stand up? Yeah, we should
just
get
stand
you moving.
Up and stretch a little bit.
Because otherwise it could turn into sleeping.
Yeah, we don't want it to turn into sleeping.
We've all been there.
Okay,
us
so
too.
Just do whatever stretching you need.
Yes. Move. Thank
10:45
you.
Is late, and you probably stayed up later than that.
Uh-huh. We were
we
once your age.
Yeah. Okay, good. You can have a seat.
Have a seat. Okay, so I would encourage you at this point, we can just close our eyes and just, like I said, take a moment and invite Jesus in to just seal upon your heart the good things that he is doing, or to let him just come into whatever the enemy is doing so that he can protect you and do his thing. Okay. We'll come on back. So just an example, I'm just going to be honest and share mine. I didn't plan on doing this, but as I realized, as I went into the silence, I noticed like I get anxiety sometimes about talking in front of people, or like I think like, oh, I have to come up with the perfect thing to say. And so my thoughts went to anxiety and realizing, wow, that's not from God. And so just then it was an opportunity, because I was given the time to just pay attention to what's going on inside me. And I understood, okay, anxiety is not from God. Then it gave me the chance to invite Jesus in and realize, you know what, God, you are the God of their hearts, and you love each of these people more than I can ever love them. And that he's going to take care of what I need to say to get you the message that you need to hear. And even if I don't say it, he's going to find a way to speak to you what he wants you to hear. So that's just one example of the power of taking, I don't even know, I didn't end up timing us, but taking 45 seconds, I think it probably was, and just what grace can come. So whether you are getting off your shift from work at a summer job and get in the car or on your bike or whatever it is, and just take a moment to do that before you go to bed, on your way to your friends, whatever it is, in the chapel. There's just a lot of power in that.
Yeah, just being aware of where we are spiritually, who's in our heart, and resisting the work of the enemy, receiving the work of God. Like, there's huge mm-hmm. power in that. Okay, so I guess I want to go back to that consolation and desolation a little bit, and like some of the thoughts and feelings that come from consolation, some of the thoughts and feelings that come from desolation, just to see if you all can give me any more examples of like what are some thoughts that you might have during a time of consolation, a time when the Lord is really speaking to you. Okay, so it's a time of like lightness of heart. Of feeling God's love, thinking of God's love. Yeah, it's good.
Growing a lot more confidence, a lot of insecurities like that just seem to kind of pass away those kind of times.
Definitely confidence is a big one.
That's awesome.
That confidence in the Lord, good.
Forgiveness when you're not feeling, when people or you yourself aren't acting how you should be.
Uh-huh. Yeah, easier to forgive.
This is awesome. The Holy Spirit is working.
Yeah. Honestly, just peace and joy.
Yep.
Awesome.
Feeling accepted when you're alone.
Yes. Yes, that acceptance.
Way to be courageous. This is awesome.
Maybe like happiness and thankfulness. You can be thankful for like a lot of things.
Yes.
Yeah, gratitude is extremely powerful.
So all of these things come to us a lot more easily during a time of consolation. All of those thoughts, those feelings, it's easier to forgive. It's easier to have compassion. We have confidence. We feel accepted. We're happy. Gratitude comes more easily. Okay, just soak all of that in, the waterfall of grace that God wants to give. Soak it all in, okay? Then in the time of desolation, the thoughts are a lot more heavy. There's more sadness. There's more darkness. Okay, what are some thoughts and feelings that might come during that time of desolation?
I would say, like, a lot of doubt, and then, like, it's hard to trust others, too, because you don't want to, like, be broken by them. You put up more guards when you're in desolation.
Mm-hmm. You might be more defensive. Yeah. The doubt, that's a big one.
Yeah.
Like hatred.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Hatred, resentment.
Anyone else? Like giving up and saying it's never going to change.
Yeah, it's never going to change.
Yep. Hopelessness, despair. Yeah, that's
even feeling like maybe others have given up on you.
Well, I was thinking despair, but also fear.
Yeah, fear. Is that what you said, fear?
Oh, yes, fear, and you said despair also.
And despair.
Mm-hmm. That you're not enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a big one, I think. Especially ladies, I think the enemy's going to especially, well, I think men too. Anyways, that's a big one. So just if you know, hear that one right away, you just know, whoa.
Yeah.
Anger.
Yeah, anger. Okay. Mm-hmm. And anger can be, there can be a good side to anger too. But the anger that comes from that defensiveness or that feeling worthless. Mm-hmm. Okay. Wow, this is awesome.
Yeah, this is great.
Okay, so, I think I just lost it. So all of the things that we've just shared, I'm not enough, the doubt, the fears, the worries, I just want to give up, like, and others have given up on me, or God's going to give up on me. Those are all lies. That is a lie. And they're coming from the father of lies, who is our enemy, okay? So he tries to speak these lies to us, and sometimes he'll take something that's true. This is often what he does. He'll take this little tiny bit of truth, and he'll wrap it in a bunch of lies. Okay, so maybe I make a mistake. You know, maybe I do make a mistake. Well, then the enemy is going to say to me, you're a failure. Okay, so making one mistake makes me a failure? No, like it's a lie. Yeah, I made a mistake. It's fine. I'm still loved. I can continue on. I can move on. But sometimes we let that little bit of truth that's wrapped in a whole bunch of lies, we believe all the lies. Okay, and the enemy does this to us. He this is how he tries to work on us. Okay.
Or the example, can I share one example? Yeah. It's so if someone needs to, like, okay, our parents help take care of us in so many ways, and if I think it can be easy for the enemy to say, like, oh, I'm a burden because someone has to go out of their way or make a sacrifice for me, and just how much goodness is there. But it can be easy to see, like, oh, I'm a burden, I'm just a big problem. So
that's a lie, and it's to be rejected and resisted. Okay, so we know the consolation is to be received. Okay, that's the work of the Lord. Desolation is the work of the enemy. It's to be resisted. I'm like, okay, so how do we resist it? This is one of the most powerful parts of the discernment of spirits and the teaching that St. Ignatius has given to the church to help us to know how to resist the evil one. How to resist the enemy, how to resist his lies. Okay, this is so helpful to us because it's fairly easy for us most of the time when we're feeling that goodness, when we're feeling that happiness, when we feel loved, it's fairly easy for us usually to continue to receive that goodness. to continue to receive God's love for us. Okay, so receiving consolation usually isn't the problem. Usually the problem comes in resisting the desolation, resisting the lies of the enemy. Okay, so I have two ways for you to resist the lies of the enemy, two powerful ways. And the first one is gratitude. So someone had mentioned gratitude. Just being grateful, being thankful. And this is actually one of the greatest helps for us to grow in the love of God, is to just have an attitude of gratefulness. I've heard some people say, we have an attitude of gratitude. Okay, just remember it. It sounds a little dorky, but we just want to have that constant attitude where we are really grateful. We're just thankful people. There's so many things in our lives that is just God's goodness to us. And so even if we're not feeling particularly grateful, to foster that attitude and even to spend some time every day to think about something that you're grateful for. And to foster that attitude of gratitude. Okay, so that's the first way to resist the lies of the enemy. When we start to feel that heaviness, that sadness, that disquiet, that doubt, to just think of a few things that I'm grateful for. What has God given me today? And they can be little things. Like when I woke up at one point this morning and I still had another half an hour to sleep before it was time to get up. I am grateful for that, you know, and I was able to go back to sleep. I'm grateful. It's a little thing, but God showed his goodness to me in that. Okay. And so to be able to experience and receive God's goodness in that. Okay. So then the second way to resist the enemy's work in our lives is to call to mind the truth. Okay. And this is very difficult for us to do when we're not seeing the truth. Desolation tends to put like dark glasses on us, like we see the world in a darker way. And so it's hard for us to call to mind the truth. But if we do it, we'll get back into that time of consolation, hopefully more quickly, and we'll be able to resist the harmful work of the enemy. Okay, calling to mind the truth. So for me, one way to call to mind the truth is to remember my favorite scripture passage, and it's from 1 John 3:1. Behold what manner of love the Father has given to us, that we might be called children of God, and so we are. Like, I am his child, he's taking care of me. That's one truth that I call to mind often when I find myself in a time of desolation, and it's so helpful to just remember who I am. What's my real identity? The enemy's trying to tell me right now that my identity is I'm not enough, I'm a failure, but my real identity is that I'm a child of God. I am enough, and I'm completely and utterly loved. Okay, so just calling to mind that truth. I probably don't feel it. I don't feel like it's true, but I know it's true. Okay, and there's power in calling to mind that truth. Okay, so I guess I just want to close. Are we ready to close? Okay. I just want to close by having you spend a few moments thinking of three things that you're grateful for. Okay? It's kind of like it's getting our ninja moves out and resisting the work of the enemy. Even if you're not in a time of desolation right now, it can still be a way to keep the evil one away. Okay? So just take a moment and... maybe I could give you an or activity. Either think of three things that you're grateful for, or call to mind the truth of your favorite scripture passage. Maybe you have a favorite that you want to call to mind. Okay, so just take a moment, and then we'll close with a prayer. Okay. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we call to mind your presence with us. We love you. And we know of your infinite love for us. Father, we ask you today to stay with us, to help us to know your presence, to help us to know the truth of your love. open our hearts to all that you have for us in this day. We thank you for your gifts to us. We thank you for the gift of this time. We thank you for the beauty of this place. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Mass and for Holy Communion. We thank you for the gift of our families. Help us to receive everything you have for us. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.